You start a new year. The older you get, the quicker they come around, don't they, Doyle? Catherine? It is a pleasure, it is a blessing, it is a joy to be able to be with each and every one that I love in this congregation on this new year, to start out this new year. And Oscar, you don't know how appropriate your prayer was this morning to what I'm about to present. You talked about being attentive, listening carefully. That's always appropriate, but especially this morning. Acts the 17th chapter and verse 11, Luke gives the account of Paul being in Berea. And he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were listening attentively. They were listening carefully. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That is, that the Apostle Paul was preaching. I'm emphasizing this thought from this verse and the prayer that Oscar gave. If you do not listen attentively to this lesson, there can be some wrong conclusions that are drawn. There could be accusations that what I am presenting is not from God's Word. There could be beliefs that are not in accordance with God's will. I'm going to ask, first of all, two questions, or make two statements and ask if you agree with them. Here's the first one. And again, one more time before we enter into this, be attentive. Listen carefully. Do you agree with this first statement? There are Christians in every church. Do you agree with that? And to go along with that, it makes no difference what church you join. And I'm talking about joining from the standpoint of one already being a Christian, just as Paul in Acts 9 chapter verse 26 is said to join the church in Jerusalem. I'm not talking about becoming a child of God. I'm talking about those that are already children of God looking to join a church in that sense. So do you agree with those two statements? There are Christians in every church. Do you agree with the statement, it makes no difference what church you join? Do you agree with that? It is rhetorical. I don't expect an answer. Hopefully the consideration is going to be here as we enter into this. Popular statement. There would be those that would wish that I stop this sermon right here or in just a moment and not really go any further. It's a popular statement, politically correct. Well, there's Christians in every church. I remember going to a member's home that had family, a daughter in particular, that had left the Lord, and we were talking to that daughter and also to her mother, who were both members of the congregation where we were, and talking about the need for her to come back because she had joined herself to another church. And the statement was made by the mother, well, there's Christians in every church. Do you agree with that? Does it matter what church you join? If you disagree, I will tell you that the world will look at you, the majority of the religious world will look at you and say, it's bigoted. If you don't agree with that, it is uncaring, it is unloving. And so as we think about this, we're going to look at the scriptural, biblical basis of your answer, and the answer that I'm going to give in particular. Whether or not we agree or disagree with the above statements, give your scripture. I urge you right now to think about scriptures that would either allow you to agree or would cause you to disagree with those first two statements. That there are Christians in every church, and it makes no difference what church you join. Because if it's answered in anything other than a scriptural, biblical basis, well, then it's just our opinion. If we hold to God being authoritative, then it has to come from God's word. It can't come from another source. And in all of this, there have been those that I've talked to in the past that make mention of the fact that they have those that are friends that are Christians. And I have asked the question, well, what congregation do they attend? Well, I don't know. It's some other church. Well, are there Christians in every church? And does it make any difference what church you join? I want you to listen very carefully, especially of what I'm about to say. I agree with the two above statements. I agree wholeheartedly with the two above statements. That I believe that there are Christians in every church. And I believe wholeheartedly that it makes no difference what church you join. I want you to listen carefully now, not only with that answer that I gave, but also with what follows after this. If, and someone says, why did you have to do that? It's going so well until you got to that point. Why do you preachers always have to put in an if? Because the scriptures do. Because the scriptures do. Think about it, just how important that word is. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Paul says this, and you were once, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and above reproach in his sight. If, there you have an inspired writer, an inspired apostle that uses that word that is so important. If, he says, and here's the qualifier to all that was said before. And I don't believe that verse 21 and verse 22 is talking about the end of time where God will count those that are his children then holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. I think that he's speaking about now. Because if we're not holy, separated unto the Lord, well, then we're not his child. If we're not unblameable, well, then we're not his child. If we are without reproof, well, then we're not his child. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister, a servant of Christ. He gives the if, and the if is always impactful. It is important. It is required for our understanding. Romans 8 and verse 9. Paul says there, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if. And here, of course, he's making that contrast, that comparison between flesh, living after our own desires, lest the flesh, lest the eyes of pride of life, or living spiritually. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So again, we have the if that is involved here, and the if has to be in place. The if is primary. The if is non-negotiable. The if is important. And it makes a difference. It takes it out of the category of the realm of our own feelings and our own desires and even our own wishes. Wouldn't it be great if every church was filled with God's people? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's find out if that is the case as we look at that. With that if you have, and here's the if you have not paid attention, then you can be walking out of this building and saying, well, the preacher said that there's Christians in every church. It doesn't matter what church you go to. If you listened attentively, then you will have heard the word if with explanation. And that which is going to be then amplified in what is presented. Not from my mind, but from God's mind. Because what I've sought to do is look for scriptural, biblical bases to answer or give answer to those two statements. Your job is to see if I'm consistent in that. To see if truly I'm looking at, if I am looking at God's will in His way. So, There are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if the proper form of teaching is obeyed. Think about it. The proper form of teaching. Romans 6, chapter verse 17 and 18. God, we thank that you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became servants of unrighteousness. We became servants of righteousness by adhering to that form of doctrine. What is he talking about when he uses that term form? It's from the Greek word tupos. A die as struck, that is by analogy a shape, that is specifically a sampler type, that is a model. Think about it. Whenever molten metal is being poured into a form, it is then cast upon a direct shape that is that form. And that's what Paul is saying here. You were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. That is the form that God has set forth for Paul to preach and for all that are inspired and for all that are truly gospel preachers and teachers. That form of doctrine. It doesn't matter. You see that there are Christians in every church, and it makes no difference what church you join as long as the proper form of teaching is obeyed. That teaching is after the pattern, that form or pattern. Hebrews 8, chapter and verse 5. The writer says there, who served the copy of the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed. Stop right there. He's talking about the building of the tabernacle here in Hebrews 8, chapter. And he gives us an understanding of where that form, that pattern came from that he's referencing. He says, who served the copy of the shadow of the heavenly things. Understand that the tabernacle was a type. The antitype was in the concept of God in connection with the tabernacle and what it stood for and what it would later become in truth. As Moses was divinely instructed, that is by inspiration, that pattern then was given by God, not from man. And as I've said many times in several sermons, God determined how he was worshiped, how he was to be served and worshiped. And so he says to Moses, and he says by analogy to us, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mount. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what church you attend, doesn't matter what church you join, and there are always Christians there if their teaching is after the pattern. That's just fact. Not Church of Christ teaching. How many times, Darrell, have we gone into the prison and asked the question after there has been proper instruction, ask the question there in the prison among those that were children of God, that received instruction from God, would ask the question so that our visitors would understand, what does the Church of Christ teach? And to a man, they would answer, nothing. And they're right. When we think about this from Matthew 16, verse 19, comparison passage, of course, in Matthew 18, verse 20, after Jesus said that he would build his church, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed from heaven. It's saying exactly the same thing that the Hebrew writer is referring to in Hebrews 8 and verse 5. That the authority is from heaven of how things are to be set up, ordained, taught, and so forth, in order to be pleasing unto God. Inspired teaching, if the proper form of teaching is obeyed, but inspired teaching from God's Word, because there is no such thing as Church of Christ teaching, but rather that inspired teaching from God's Word. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What's he talking about there? The teaching that comes to them. By what means? Through the inspiration. Where the inspiration come from? From heaven. From God. What does it do? Because Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, the whole building then being joined together grows into a holy temple in whom you are also being built together as a habitation of God in the Spirit. And there you have really the conclusion of the of what was to come about from the type, the tabernacle, unto God's called out body, the church. The church. Why would a Christian want teaching from anything else other than God's Word? Why would any church want teaching from anything else other than God's Word? Think back to what Peter said in John the 6th chapter and verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And the reason that he had words from eternal life is that he was from heaven. And he had legislative and all authority, as he proclaimed in Matthew 28 and verse 18. Why would any individual or any church want anything else other than God's word being taught? And why would they want to follow or obey anything other than God's word? And so, there are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if the proper form of teaching is obeyed. Is given and obeyed. There are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if Christ is honored as founder and head. Individually, talking about individual Christians, that he is the head and he is to be honored. Think about that from 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Paul was addressing the division that was there in Corinth. And I know that you'll certainly agree with me that they were not to follow after the name of Paul or Apollos or Cephas. But I will submit to you that his thought here, by also entering Christ, was that they made themselves nothing more than a division or denomination, likened unto the other three. That it was in name only that they were following him and not in spirit and in truth. I'll give you that for consideration. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and it put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is to be honored. Christ is to be honored as founder and head. And every church that does that is pleasing to him. And it doesn't matter what church that is. Because they're recognizing and honoring Christ as the founder and head. The first century followers of Christ identified with him. Acts 11 and verse 26 talks about the individuals. And that they were first called Christians in Antioch. And then when we look over in Acts 26 and verse 28. There Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Those are the only three times in the New Testament that the word Christian is used. And that word Christian refers to an adherent of the teaching of Christ Jesus. So the first century followers, they identified with him. Why would any Christian not want to identify truly with Christ? Because they recognize it's not a title, it's what they do. Why would any church, and we'll be talking about the collective here in just a moment, why would they want to have any other head other than Christ Jesus? These that were Christians were also disciples, mathetes in the Greek, which means learner or pupil. That is from God's word. Why would any Christian identify with a man or a movement? Think about what is said in Acts 4 and verse 12. Peter, on that day, speaking to the Sanhedrin and to all those that were gathered round about him. Nor is there salvation in any other, For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The must there is very important. It's in connection with that name. Christ Jesus, the name is not just a title, it's what He did. It's what He did. In the collective sense, the head must be honored. And so there are Christians in every church, and as a collective, as it doesn't matter what church you join, as a collective, if they honor the head, they can be worshipped with. Romans 16, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. That's one of our favorite passages, isn't it? We have to recognize also, though, that Church of God is used in connection with the same people. We see that in Acts 20:28, 1 Corinthians 1:2, 10:32, Acts 11:16 and 22, 15 verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Galatians 1:13, and so forth. Church of God is used. So should we change the sign outside? Well, you know, I see more times where the term Church of God is used, and I see where the term churches or Church of Christ is used. I see it more. So based on the weight of the number of times used, we must change the name. But I think about that in Philippians 4 and verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Think about that from a standpoint. Here we are, brethren from around the community and surrounding areas know that we come together, we meet here, that we are hopefully disciples, learners, and pupils of God's Word, that we are Christians that meet here, that we gather together, that is not the building, nor is it just a corporate entity that we've come together to create, but it is that which is spiritual. What would be the purpose in changing the sign? If we continue to do exactly what we're supposed to do in this building, what would be the purpose? Some would say, and we've talked about this before, well, there's such a stigma with the Church of Christ. Good. Let's use that to the teaching. A people that see a stigma there, and let's see what God's Word says. Good. Let that be. Neither, though, would I be against a congregation starting up in some place and them putting on a sign out there, disciples meet here. The Church of God meets here. Have no problem with that whatsoever. And so from a collective basis, it's not about the sign, it's about what is done. As long as Christ is honored. A collective of God's children will honor Christ or God. Not a county. And there are some that have renamed themselves blank county church. Not a city or a location, not a church. Just the corporate body itself, not the membership nor its activities. You'll go around and you will see church buildings that have a sign on the outside that says, The Fellowship. Fine, The Fellowship into what? It could be anything. And usually it is with the social aspect. But Christ will be honored by those that are Christians and make up a collective of Christians. They will honor Christ Jesus. The Lord is to be honored. Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 10, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Recognition of the reason for Him being honored. He is all authority, all power. Colossians 2, 19 and 20, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. I'll submit to you that any individual or any collective that does not hold Jesus as the head is not knit together and is not growing spiritually because they're placing their honor somewhere else other than Christ. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why, as through living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Don't mention Church of Christ. Don't mention Church of God. Don't mention being disciples. Make it innate. Make it where no one can disagree. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what you have on the sign. People will disagree with it. And many times, rightfully so. Colossians 1 and verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Why place Him so much in the forefront? Because He became flesh. And He died for us. And the Father places him, therefore, in the forefront. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, places him in the forefront because of what he accomplished for us. Colossians 1 and verse 24, I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh that is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Not talking about a corporate entity, but talking about a spiritual entity. Why would any collective of Christians not honor and identify with the Lord? Think about what Jesus said to his apostles before he sent them out on the limited commission, and that principle is true. It doesn't matter when. Therefore, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. So, there are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if the proper form of teaching is obeyed and Christ is honored and founded as founder and head. And we give him that glory. There are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if Christ's word is accepted as authoritative. Not a creed, but his inspired word. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That was the problem with the Jews of his day. There was recognition of him being Lord just by the fact of the miracles that he performed. There was those that recognized him, but they didn't do what he said. Why take the Bible plus something else? And that's what happens with many churches. They take the Bible plus something else. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, every scripture that is inspired is given by God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Well, if you have all of that supplied by God's word, why would you take a Bible and why would you add to it then a dogma, a doctrine, or some other writing of men? Why would you do that? Why would those that are Christians ever do that? Why would a collective of Christians ever do that? Why take the Bible plus traditions of men? Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, these people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You'd be hard-pressed to enter into any church and ask them, do you teach Christ Jesus here? And them not reply, absolutely we do. But yet, their teaching would not be in accordance with God's Word. I'll demonstrate that in just a moment. The Bible plus individual direction. And that's used by so many. Beloved, this is Jude, the third verse. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And it is for that reason that we have God's word where you don't listen to me and I say, look, just trust me on this. Or I stand up here and say, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. But I can go to God's word because it is quantifiable. Anything other than that is not. If I say that God told me something that's not in God's word, how do you verify it? That's the reason that John, in writing to Christians in the 4th chapter and verse 1 of his epistle, 1 John, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 36 is applicable in connection with this. Paul said, or did the word of God come originally to you? Are you the authenticators of God's word? Did it start with you or was it you only that it reached? Was it just to you, no one else? No, the gospel is for all, as Jude says in verse 3. And once delivered for all. We are to follow those that are Christians and collectives. If they truly are God's people, they follow the Bible plus nothing else. John 9, through 2 John 9 through verse 11. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your own house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares with his evil deeds. His body is the church. I think I made a mistake there. And so why would any Christian or group of Christians want the wisdom of men to lead them rather than God's Word, the teaching of Christ Jesus? Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. Why look to anything else? A dogma, doctrine, a writing of men, a trust me from the preacher. The New Testament pattern is to be followed. There are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if the New Testament pattern is followed. That pattern of worship. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. And it goes back to what I said earlier, of course, that we find in Scripture, God determines how He's worshipped. It's not man to do that. Never at any time do we have a historical record from Scripture where God says, you worship me the way that you want and it's fine with me. No, He gave direction of how He was to be worshipped. Not only worship, but also how we organize ourselves, which is God's determination. Paul tells Titus there is something that is lacking or wanting there in Crete because there's not elders. I'm leaving you there in order to ordain elders in every church. Paul and Timothy were doing the work among congregations that were saints in Christ, specifically in Philippi, in Philippians 1 and verse 1, along with that organization as God set it up, the bishops, the elders, the pastors, the overseers, all of that, synonyms for what we call elders today, and deacons. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, that those that teach the gospel, those that expect to have their living made by teaching the gospel are supported by members of the church, by that collective. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17 and 18, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Over in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, I urge you when you were in Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There you have a located preacher. Paul leaving Timothy in Ephesus. Proper, right, scriptural, and the pattern set forth for us. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, if you instruct the brethren, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You see, those evangelists were not just out teaching those that were lost. They were teaching those that were members of the church. Why would Christians want something other than what God expects of them taught? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus says in John the 14th chapter and verse 15. There are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if one is free to teach as and what Paul preached. The whole counsel of God. Acts 20 verses 20 and 21 and also verse 27. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For I shun not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Every church, every Christian that receives the whole counsel of God are God's people. Every one of them. It makes no difference what church it is, if that is done. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And his ways in Christ were directed by the Spirit. You understand that from Galatians 1st chapter and verse 11. The revelation I received was not of men, neither was I taught it by man, but by the Lord himself. And that's what he says. Not following camps or beliefs of men. A church that does that is not the Lord's church. A Christian that does that is not a true child of God. And there are so many of those camps that are out there among brethren today. I'm talking about in buildings where on the outside it says something to the effect of Church of Christ. And yet there are certain beliefs that are held to that if you don't hold to those beliefs, well then you're a false teacher and you are suspect and rejected. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul says, we not dare class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Why? Because they're looking inward rather than upward. Note the very pointed words of Paul in connection with these two statements. There are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if one is free to teach as and what Paul preached. And here's what he preached. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul, those are strong words. Paul says, yea, they are strong words, so let me repeat. As we said, therefore, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. Why? Because they're not free to preach the truth. It's a different gospel. Think about this. Would just the reading of God's word be accepted in any church that claims to be followers? If every person there claimed to be a Christian and all the collective says, yes, we are part of the body of Christ, would the reading that I'm about to give be acceptable to every church? If I walked in without commentary and I just read the following verses. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'll submit to you that there would be some that would reject that. Well, yes, God's word is important, but we also have our doctrine. We have our manual. We have our catechism. James 2 and verse 18, show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. If I just walked into a church, any church, and read that, there are many churches that would show me the door at that particular point wherever I made a reading of James 2:18. Acts 3 verse 19, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be wiped out. There'll be many that will reject that. No, the Lord receives us as we are. We don't have to change a thing. Romans 10 and verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He didn't say anything about the sinner's prayer. Acts 22 and verse 16. This is where the door would be shown a gospel preacher immediately in a congregation that does not hold to the proper form of teaching, does not honor Christ as the head, that Christ's word is accepted as authoritative, that the New Testament pattern is followed, and one is free to teach as Paul did. Acts 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There's the door. That's it. You've gone too far now. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. No. No, Jesus did it all. There's nothing for me to do. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be different by how? The renewing of your mind? No, I'm not changing my mind. That you may prove or show forth what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Get out. Get out. Get out right now. I'll tell you, I also believe that I could put together a list of scriptures and make no commentary on it and walk into buildings that have Church of Christ on the outside and also be invited to leave just reading the scriptures. I didn't take time to do that. But it could be done. Why would any church want anything other than the implanted word taught? Why would any Christian want to listen to anything else? James, the first chapter, verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What saves us? The implanted word of God in our hearts that we follow, we make application of in our daily and walk of life. And so, there are Christians in every church. It makes no difference what church you join if the proper form of teaching is obeyed. Christ is honored as founder and head. Christ's words accepted as authoritative. The New Testament pattern is followed. One is free to teach as and what Paul preached. I added this part. Be a part of a church that follows these things. In hopes that maybe someone, some visitor would be here today, because what I was going to say to them, I'll go ahead and say it anyway. I submit to you that this church does these things. This one right here. This congregation. I urge you to be a part of this. And you become a part of this if you're not affiliated with the Lord's body. You do that by obedience to His Word. And that obedience, of course, is exactly what we read earlier. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But let's put this more in perspective of those of us that are here today. Will you walk out today because you've not listened, because you've not listened attentively, because you've not looked into God's Word and say, Garen said, it doesn't matter what church you go to. If you do that, you're not telling the truth, because you missed all the ifs. And the ifs are required because God is authoritative. But if you considered the if, then I believe that through the scriptures that we presented, you'll agree with the first two statements that I presented at the end of that lesson. What I have right here, there are Christians in every church, if. It makes no difference what church you join, if. And all those ifs are adhered to. Are we, as children of God, so caught up in a corporate aspect of following God rather than in that which is in spirit and in truth? Have we forgotten the spiritual aspect to where we say to ourselves, and I'll just use this as an example, if it doesn't say something about the Church of Christ on the outside, I will not be part of that. If that is the case, we're not looking at things spiritually. If there's good reason to change the name, well, then I'm all for it, but I don't believe there's good reason. And so, are we looking corporately or are we looking spiritually? Are we ready to follow the Lord's will with His ifs? And recognize the saving grace of God through His Word? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.